Welcome and grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus. We are blessed to gather here this morning. I know there are Sunday school teachers and kids who are out and about doing things and are gathering in. So we will get started and I know that they will join us. Before we begin, there are a few announcements, a lot of which are here in your bulletin. So I draw your attention to those. But we have three big events that are coming up in the month of October, and so we want to make sure that all of those are on your radar. I think we'll do this in calendar order, so we'll begin. Dennis is saying no, please don't. Can we begin at October 5th and Grace Connection and what's going on there?
So, what day of the week is October 5th?
Saturday.
Thank you very much. So we're going to have a special event on Saturday that is semi-finishing up a series that we're starting next Sunday called Caring for the Caregiver. How many of us here have ever been a caregiver to a child, to a parent, to a relative? Right. We all probably are at some point in our life, certainly as I continue to age, will need somebody to look out for me and do stuff for me. But we want to try to focus for the following 4 weeks on taking care of the caregiver. Okay? So we are going to have two guest speakers on Saturday the 5th at around 7 o'clock, and there'll be more information on that available. So I encourage you all to attend that and certainly come to Grace Connection starting next week. Don't come today. Thank you.
You're always welcome to come, but if you come today as we're finishing things up, you might be a little confused, but know that you're always welcome. So our second event in October is our missions fundraiser, which is on October 19th. Is there anyone that wants to speak to that today? I'll take a moment. There's a lot of details in here about that, so I'll let you read those. But what I want to especially draw your attention to is the wonderful... Do you want to say something, Gloria? Go for it. Can we get Gloria a microphone? Good.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
As everybody's putting together their fall calendar, now that the seasons are starting to change, we want to make sure that Saturday, October 19, is on your fall calendar for a fun evening of fun, food, and fellowship while raising money for local and global missions. We're hoping that everybody can make it. We are planning some wonderful food. George is in Washington, D.C. this weekend, but I know he'll speak to that later. He's kind of organizing the kitchen crew, and we're going to have a silent as well as a live auction of a few items, so that will generate more funds as well for our local and global missions. And one new development is that after all of the devastation that's happened in the Bahamas, all the money that's raised on October 19th is going to be matched by someone here in the church, and all that money will go to relief in the Bahamas for all those poor families that have been displaced and are struggling to kind of make a new life for themselves. So that's a new development. So any money that you bid on an auction item or spend on an evening's ticket will have a double impact. So that's kind of good news. And just as an aside, I'm helping out with the auction items this year. Pam Pepe had asked me to help out. So if everybody could maybe just take a moment and think about, do I have something that I could donate, you know, something that I've made, or maybe a service, maybe my teenager wants to donate some babysitting, or, you know, do I have something around the house, or do I know somebody in the community even that is a friend that owns a restaurant, or that, you know, anyway, something like that that you could ask, and as a friend of this church, you know, kind of make the auction a successful evening. So we'll have some letters out in the narthex that you could share with somebody in the community if you wanted to that has Pastor Heather's blessing, and it'll share with them what we're doing on October 19th, if they would want to consider donating maybe a gift card or some movie tickets or something like that. So please think about that, and even if you can't come on October 19th, you can help make it a success by donating something in your absence, okay? And feel free to check with me at Fellowship if you have any questions on that. I'd be happy to chat with you.
Thank you, Gloria. Dan, we're moving through the October calendar. Do you have a word about the end of October and the 26th?
So October 26th, there's so much going on, and it's a lot of fun. So as I mentioned last week, Trunk or Treat is right around the bend. So October 26th, Saturday, 2 to 4, it's always a great time. Everybody in here is like so creative. You can't even imagine the trunks that they come up with, but it's so much fun. It's great for not only for us, because we have a great time during those 2 hours, but for all the kids that come, and you know, they learn to give back to the community, but it's definitely a community event too. So in order to really make this successful, we need 30 trunks. We can't have trunks and everybody shows up and there's not enough trunks or there's not enough wow to it. But so I'm going to be in the back of the room at the end of worship today with a sign-up sheet. But just to get a little feel, how many people plan on attending for Trunk or Treat?
Attending.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the back of the room at the end of worship. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. With all of those exciting things in our mind and our hearts as we seek to serve God and our community, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Let us rise for the call to worship. The unbelievers say there is no God. We come trusting in Jesus, the face, the voice, the presence of the God who loves us. The doubtful ask, why do you seek after God? We come in this time because God's grace has spilled over in our lives. The hopeless think, no one cares about me. We come in this time, in this place, because Jesus has found us and brought us home. Let us join together in our prayer of confession. O most patient God, we recognize how much we need you for life itself. But how often have we behaved as if we did not know or even care about you? How often have we become the ones who do not carry out justice? How often have we tried to dominate others, even as you stand with them? How often have we participated in the desolation of your creation by the treatment of our heavens, the earth, and its waters? Forgive us for these times when we have lost our way. All loving God, we want to be among those whom you seek. Shower your mercy upon us. Find us and lead us safely home to faithfulness. Beloved, when we are lost, not all is lost. God is seeking us, ready to turn our lives around, gathering us in to the people of God. Let us rejoice in God's mercy. Amen. As forgiven and loved children of God, let us rise and share the peace of Christ. Very cool. Peace, honey. Hi, sweetie. don't you put the basket, put the bag down the back. Good morning. How is everyone this morning?
Great.
Good. You're great? Excellent. I love hearing that. Everyone ready to start off Sunday school? All right. Good. So I had Grace and Sophia help me out a little bit this morning, and they collected 10 of their favorite stuffed animals to kind of to show you and to kind of help with the story. So we've got 10 of them in this bag, right? Everyone recognize who this is? Go ahead, you can just shout it out. It's Sven, yes, right? Sven from Frozen. We have another Disney friend. Who's that? Aladdin, the genie from Aladdin, right? Let's see, we've got a baby sea otter from the Norwalk Aquarium. I think every single one of these has a story, right? How many do we have so far? Three? There's Jasmine to go with Aladdin. So there's four. There's a little baby flamingo. I have the cutest picture of Grace, about a year old, with the flamingo. Anyway, so that's how many are we at now? We've got five. Let's see. Who else do we have? We have a Florida panther. I lost count. I'm losing
that's
count.
Six.
We all need a little help with our counting, right? We got six. Let's see. We've got seven. We've got a bunch of cats. Lots of cats from the zoo. Seven, eight. Number nine is a bunny that your grandma made for you, right? So we've got nine. There's only nine in here.
Oh.
Did you put 10 in here?
Yeah.
Are we missing one? Did it come in the car?
Yeah, it did.
It did? Has anyone seen another stuffed animal? I think we had 10. Oh. Are you sure you brought 10?
Yeah.
Has anyone seen one? Everyone look under your seats. Look under your seats. Oh. Sophia, go get the owl.
Who are you?
There it is. Yeah. All right. I'm so glad we found that one. That's a good one, right? Where's that one's from selling Girl Scout cookies, I think, right? I'm so glad we found number 10, right? I knew that, because all of them are special. All of them have a story. Do all of them have a name? I think they all have a name, right? At some point, they've all had a name, and they're all special. So we didn't want to lose this one. Here, let me hold the owl, the one that we thought we had lost. So there's a story that I'm going to read in a moment from the Bible. When Jesus talks about sheep, and there's 100 sheep, and how many go missing? One. And there's a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one. And in both of those stories, the people who have lost something important to them go and find it. And there's a lot of different ways that we can tell that story and think about what it means for us. But one of the things that it reminds us is that if God is that shepherd, God will always look for us when we wander off, when we get lost, when we forget to follow God, God will go and find us. Because God loves each and every one of us, as different as we all are, as different as these stuffed animals are, God loves each and every one of us. And God will go and look for us and love us and care for us. And I believe that we're also meant to do the same thing, to be like God for other people, to go and find them and tell them how much God loves them. So can we put all these friends, we'll put all these friends back in the bag for now as we say our prayer. If you'd like to hold hands during the prayer, we can, and repeat after me, and then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you.
Thank you, James. Dear God, we thank you for finding us, even when we feel lost. We thank you for loving us. And we ask you to help us
to love all others.
We pray as Jesus prayed, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Have a great time in Sunday school.
Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in the book of Jeremiah. It is in the Old Testament on page 660 and 661 of your pew Bible. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes from me out of the bare heights in the desert toward my poor people, not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. And then to verses 22 through 28. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert. And all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this, the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 15th chapter. These are the two lost parables, or two of the three lost parables. What I'll read to you this morning are the lost sheep and the lost coin, but if you remember this whole chapter, these two come before the story of the prodigal son, the lost son. So I hope that you will keep that story in your mind as you hear these as well. Let us rise for the reading of the gospel. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or that woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. United Methodist Bishop Karen Oliveto tells the story of a 15-year-old runaway named Todd. He had been absent from church for several weeks, and people were beginning to get worried. They knew how dangerous it was for a teenager to be living on the streets, and they did everything they could to find him. One Sunday, Oliveto looked up and saw Todd in his wrinkled tie and shirt from being crumpled at the bottom of his backpack. Overjoyed, she greeted him with a big hug and said to him, "I missed you." "You missed me?" Todd replied. "No one ever noticed I was gone, ever." It's a terrible feeling to be lost, and it feels even worse to assume that no one is looking. On May 8th, Amanda Eller went on what was to be a short hike on a familiar trail in Maui. She left her water and her phone and her wallet in her car. She didn't know that she was going to get lost. We don't plan to get lost. Well, Eller got turned around when she was on the trail, and she walked deeper and deeper into the forest. She fell, she fractured her leg, she lost her shoes, all while search parties were beginning to gather and looking for her. 72 hours later, the official searchers suspended their work, but the volunteers insisted on keeping going. They climbed, they rappelled, they hiked, and they dove. They killed wild boars and searched their intestines for human remains. That's taking the search to just levels I can't fathom. The man coordinating the search was fired from his job for missing work to be a part of the help. On May 25th, day 17 of Eller's ordeal, rescuers spotted her from a helicopter 7 miles from the central search zone. She was injured and dehydrated and alive. Eller's rescue gave hope to other families who were searching and waiting for their lost family members. Not all search parties were successful. It's gut-wrenching to end a search party, but sometimes that is the best and safest solution. Not everything that is lost can be found, but the love we hold for others keeps us looking. We hear day after day about the Farber-Dulles family continuing to search for Jennifer, as do countless other families who have faced unimaginable tragedies. Parents search for decades for missing children. When a loved one dies, a piece of us keeps looking for them in our everyday life. When a relationship ends, we keep looking for clues of how the outcome might have been different. It is our human nature to search for what we have lost that is valuable to us. And so these two parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin speak to us. And as I said to the kids, there are lots of different ways that we can interpret these stories and lots of different roles that we can assign to the characters of the story. The most traditional interpretation of the lost parables in the Gospel of Luke points to Jesus' message of repentance and forgiveness. The sinner who repents will be found by God. And that is a good news message for all of us, for we all have plenty from which to repent. The passage that Therese read to us this morning from the prophet Jeremiah is a scathing rebuke of all of God's people and all of God's land. It tells us that God sees the sins of the world. Yet mercifully, God does not destroy the world. There are times when we have been lost and desired to be found. But let's go back to the basics of that story for a moment. Sheep and coins. Sheep are not that smart. They wander. They don't intend to get lost. They just end up that way. And we know that coins can't just roll away and get lost on their own. Sheep get lost because the shepherd was careless. And coins get lost because their owners were careless. Reverend Emmy Kegler, in her memoir, One Coin Found, How God's Love Stretches to the Margins, tells her story as a queer Christian called to ordained ministry and how it formed her relationship with Scripture. The us that she refers to in the following excerpt from her book refers to LGBTQI Christians, one of too many groups beloved by God and yet lost by the church. She writes this: "The trouble with this metaphor is that God is the shepherd and the woman. If God is careless with the sheep and the coin, that would mean God is careless with us. Metaphors in Scripture and elsewhere do not encompass the whole of reality. God has never been careless with us. But those who claim to speak for God have. We experience God through our experience of others. We experience God through Scripture, handed down to us through the centuries, translated and retranslated, edited and sweated over. We experience God through how others use that Scripture. For example, both supporting slavery and abolition. We experience God through compassionately planned events, from regular Sunday worship to Wednesday night Bible studies to weekend retreats and all the experiences of God that our leaders have created, filtered our own experience. And too often, because really even once is too often, those leaders look at us, we precious, hungry sheep, and dusty dropped coins, the very things that God as shepherd and God as woman is straining with all her might to keep safe. And they don't see us in our beautiful bodies as made in the image of God. They don't see the dappled diversity of our skin as a gift, but as a task to be completed, a mix to be separated. They don't see the gentleness of our love, how it makes us more ready to care for others and do God's work in the world." Reverend Kegler is right. We, the church, have been and sadly continue to be the shepherd or the woman. And we need to be willing to take responsibility for those who we have lost, either because we have turned them away or carelessly forgotten about them. We need to hear their voices. We need to repent of our carelessness. We need to launch a search party. For the next few weeks, we're going to explore what disciples do, what actions we need to take in order to be, to grow, and to make disciples for Christ, for the transformation of the world. This week's lesson is disciples are called to seek others for Christ. In other words, we launch search parties. Now I know that you and I recoil at the idea of evangelism, especially evangelism with a capital E. Because too many times there have been too many shepherds of the church who have relentlessly pushed messages of seeking the lost and saving souls to the extent of driving away potential sheep and shepherds. That's not evangelism, technically good news, that's going to work today. But there are three kinds, at least three kinds, of evangelism which all of us can take part in on a daily basis. The first is lifestyle evangelism. When we live like Christ by showing mercy and compassion and grace through acts of service and social justice, we bear witness to our faith. Others will say, if that's what it means to be a Christian, then I'm interested. Second is relational evangelism. When we tell through our everyday conversation people with whom we work and live and encounter in the community that our faith is important to us, that it grounds us, that it gives us meaning and purpose and helps us through rough times, then we can make a positive impact on the lives of others. And third is invitational evangelism. When we invite others to come and see the faith community in worship, at special events, in service to the community, we open the doors to truly welcoming. Remember what I told you a couple of weeks ago? Over 80% of people say that they would go to church if they were invited. We are the ones to do the inviting. Now, we can say that we don't like or we don't do evangelism. But if we don't take responsibility for reaching outside of ourselves, who will? If we don't take responsibility for letting others know that their lives can and are saved by the loving grace of God, then who else will? If we don't tell the lost that they are found in the eyes of God and the church, to where will they wander? Now, one interpretation of this story of the shepherd is that the shepherd is the pastor, and it is the pastor's job to find the sheep, the lost sheep, all of the sheep, and bring them in. And I take responsibility for my part in that search. And you also may think that this is a job for the leadership of the church, those who are on church council, those who have been elected. And I pray that they will continue to find ways to be responsible for the care of the flock. They are doing that. But the message is for each one of us. If you truly value the relationships that you have had and are concerned for the well-being of your siblings in Christ, no matter how long they have been lost or to where they have wandered or for what reason, then are you willing to leave that responsibility in the hands of someone else? Or are you willing to take that responsibility yourself to be a good shepherd? We are all shepherds. We are all sheep. We all have been lost at one point or another in our lives. And we have all been found by the gracious love of God. In closing, I read to you another piece of Reverend Emily Kegler's book that describes the grace and the welcome extended to those who have been and are still lost, like the sheep, the coin, and the prodigal son. She writes, "This story is for us. We are the prodigal son. But too, we are lost and hungry sheep. We have gone unfed, walked without rest, been chased by wolves, and our friends and our leaders did not see our pain. But God, in big and little ways, has donned a shepherd's cloak and come running after us. God, in big and little ways, has clambered over rocks and climbed down cliffs. God has found us, hungrier and more hurt and terrified, and cradled us close to say, no matter why you left or where you went, you are mine." We too are lost and dusty coins. We have gone unnoticed, rusted from others' indifference, misspent or misused, and our friends and leaders did not see our neglect. But God, in big and little ways, has picked up a woman's broom and swept every corner of creation. God, in big and little ways, has tucked up her skirts and flattened herself on the floor, dug through dust bunnies and checked every dress pocket. God has found us, dustier and rustier and without any luster, and held us up to the light and said, "No matter how you rolled away or what corner you were dropped in, you are mine." We have been unwanted, rejected, sent away with anger or with sadness at our rebellious streak. We have seen both glory and starvation, both beauty and pig pens. We are coming home footsore and heartbroken. And before the words are out of our mouth, before our perfect speech is performed, God is cloaking our dirty shoulders in the best robe, slipping a ruby ring on our work-worn fingers, cleaning off the pig slobber to slip sandals on our feet, and declaring, "I am so sorry you had to go. I am eternally grateful to have you back." Friends, may we hear these words of grace-filled love and welcome. May we bear the God-given responsibility to extend that grace to all who are lost, and may we rejoice in their finding. Amen. Let us sing "Grace Alone."
Every friend's we will make.
As we have been blessed abundantly from the hands of God, so God asks us to return a portion of those blessings so we may continue to bless others with God's grace in the church and in the world. Our morning tithes and offerings will now be received.
Heavenly Father, as we present our offerings to you today, we give thanks for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us all. Today we offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts and joyful praise. Please bless these gifts and continue to guide us, and let us use them to benefit our church, missions, youth, and congregation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have before you our prayer list in your bulletin. There are some of the many people for whom we are praying these days. Just a couple of notes I would add. I had a chance to visit with Pam Pepe the other day, and she gives thanks for all of your prayers, for your attention, for all of the ways that you have shown love to her. She's home, and she's doing okay. It's going to be a long and slow recovery, but she is confident that she will get there by God's healing and certainly by your love and care. So she thanks you for that. Also, I don't have too much to update on Reverend John Blossom, my colleague in ministry. His family are with him in Korea, and I've been told that the situation is grave. He is the pastor of the South Meriden Church and East Berlin churches, and so I ask that we pray for John, for his wife June, son Christopher, and both of those congregations who know him and care for his leadership and his servanthood there. Are there others for whom we pray this morning?
I just want to remind everyone who remembers the little six-year-old boy I asked for prayers for. His name is Bodie, and he's suffering from a very devastating rare childhood cancer. He's going to be in treatment probably the whole year, and he has so many ups and downs. He goes every week for chemotherapy. He had a very, very surprising but horrible infection, which he's recovered from, but there's so many ups and downs, and he's so, so brave. He came home last night for the weekend, and he actually did a little happy dance. If you have a chance, there's on Facebook, it's called Bodie Strong. If you want to see me for a link to follow him daily in his journey, he just is he's so brave, and he's such a good lesson for all of us how to keep faith.
Thanks, Paula. We pray for Bodhi and for his family and for all children who are struggling with cancer and other illnesses. Are there others? Yes, Marin.
Just, can you hear me now?
Yes.
My husband Ken is in the hospital for tests. He has to have another test tomorrow. He just has not been able to walk at all. And he's been falling down all the time, so we call the ambulance, and he's been in there since Friday. So prayers for him, please.
Prayers for healing for Kenny and for strength for you as well, Marin. Then let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you, the one of lavish grace, we give you thanks for the gift of life and for the blessings of this life, for family and friends and church and love abundant. Lead us through the trials, the suffering and sorrow, the challenges and struggles, the tired times, the despairing and bleak places. Lead us from there back to you and love abundant. Be with those who weep or cannot sleep. Be with those who are ill, those who are searching, those who have no peace, who seek release. And comfort them with your love abundant. Fill us as individuals and as a church universal with hope, sustained in your mercy with patience and stamina, upheld by your Holy Spirit in your amazing grace. Fill us so that we may share the love and grace with which we have been filled. Inspire us and empower us to go forth to seek those who have wandered. Embolden us to speak words of love and truth so that all may know your love. Transform us and all our broken ways. Transform us that we can be made whole. And in wholeness may we be the hands and heart of Christ, filled with abundant love. Amen. Thank you. Friends, we are all sheep, and we are all shepherds. We all have been lost, and we all are found by the gracious love of God. So let us go forth from here filled with that love, to share that love with others who have wandered. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen.